remember one script where I went over to Jack Benny's house and I sang the song, which I usually had to do every week, to sing the song I was going to sing on the following Sunday's program. And I went over there and I sang the song, and after I had sung it, Jack says, "Dennis, that'll be fine." And I said, "Well, thank you, Mr. Benny, and I got to go now." And he showed me to the door, and as I was about to leave, I turned and I said, "Goodbye, Mr. Benny, and have a nice trip." I left, of course. He went upstairs, and he was halfway through packing before he realized he wasn't going anywhere. You know, these are the silly type of things. There was another one I remember where, in the body of the show, I had done something very frightening to Jack, because he had another singer on the program, and I was very jealous, and I was mad. So what I was doing, I was hiding in the bushes in his home at Beverly Hills, and I was throwing rocks with notes attached through the window. And he would read them, you know, and it'd say, "You're next," and this type of thing. "You think you can get away with it, but you can't," and all of this. Well, sure enough, I was caught by the police in Beverly Hills. At the end of the show, in the tag, he calls everybody out, and he called me out for a bow, and he said to me, "Dennis, what you did to me in the show tonight, frightening me the way you did, gave me an eerie feeling." And when I heard that, I said, "What did you say, Mr. Benny?" He says, "What you did to me gave me an eerie feeling." And I said, "Gee, Mr. Benny, that's where I was born." He said, "Oh, Erie, Pennsylvania?" I said, "No, Feeling, West Virginia." Now, that's a lousy joke, but I could get away with it.
That's not really a bad
character
joke.
Character that I play.
It's not that bad a joke, actually.
Yeah.
Much like Tuesday night, NBC also dominated Wednesday's audience. CBS managed just a single show in the top 10, and NBC's only competition came from the American Broadcasting Company. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time, live from Hollywood over NBC, The Dennis Day Show took to the air.
Gentlemen, Colgate Dental Cream presents The Dennis Day Show, written by Frank Galen, with Sharon Douglas, Paula Winslow, Isabel Randolph, Dick Lane, Hans Conried, Charles Dant of the orchestra, yours truly, Vern Smith, and starring our popular young singer in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth.
Jack Benny's famous Irish tenor had been given his own solo show in October of 1946. He was zany, easily confused, and exhibited many of the same characteristics as his character on the Benny Show, even if in solo show storyline, the same name and voice was said to be a coincidence.
Well, the dawn of a new year hasn't found any appreciable changes at the Anderson Boarding House in Weaverville, where our young hero Dennis Day rooms. His salary at Willoughby
Drugstore. 3 minutes, it was, and then all they were doing was just trying out, you know, for color of people and how they looked and camera techniques and all of that. So, of course, we didn't have color then either. It was only black and white. But it shows how primitive it was. Here I was lip singing. There was nothing live. So this is back in 1946, early 47.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it started really to catch on at about 1949.
Maybe we'll even be married before it's over.
Yeah, with a home of our own.
Yes. And then maybe someday, later on, who knows, we may find a visitor dropping in on us.
Oh, no, once I get away from your mother, I want to stay away.
I didn't mean my mother, Dennis. I meant someone much smaller and... well, cuter and prettier.
Your father?
Of course not. The visitor, I mean, would have tiny hands and feet and a lovely little pink face, Dennis. Well,
don't be silly. Only babies look like that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Our visitor will be a baby.
Really? Whose?
Ours, of course.
Mildred, please, remember that I'm mixed company.
The show's rating would be a healthy 18.2 in January of 1948.
But it's kind of nerve-wracking when it's ordered so far in advance.
Now, tell us a little bit about the routine when you got into the studio and saw this week's script for the first time. What was it? What did you do? You sit around the table and read?
We did a round table. Mm-hmm. And as I remember growing up as a kid, the round table reading to me was just the most fascinating part of the process. I was a child, and I'll never forget, I did a show one time with Joan Crawford. And at the round table, I probably was 10 or so, 11 maybe, she leaned over to the director and she said, "Does that child ever talk?" Because, and the director kind of laughed and he said, "Oh, she's just a well-trained actress." And Joan Crawford said, "Oh." But I had been trained, you know, as Johnny McGovern and Tommy Cook and all these other kids know that if kids, we were lucky to be there and we better know our skill and our craft and what we were doing, or there were other kids waiting in line behind us that would have been very happy to do what we were doing. So my mom always reminded me I was really a lucky kid. You just listen. That's what you want to do, Gloria. You want to listen. So I did. But she was funny because she didn't think I even could talk because I was so quiet. But it was wonderful. The round table, and on comedy shows like Bob Hope and Red Skelton, which I was lucky enough to do, the writers and their comments and interaction about what is funny and what is not was, to me, just fascinating. They would spend so much time reading a line and then reading it another way and then taking out a word, can you imagine? Because the punchline would come quicker and it would be funnier. And I can remember that. It was like surgery or something. And I thought, isn't that fascinating? They're worried about, you know, one word makes the timing different and the laugh would play in a different way. And so I really had a wonderful education in comedy and the art of comedy, and it's really fascinating. I was a very lucky child.
Opposite the Dennis Day Show on ABC, Lionel Barrymore took to the air in Mayor of the Town. With a new year here, it was a good time for the characters to sit in reflection. That is, if the mayor's housekeeper, Marilee, voiced by Agnes Moorehead, could just manage to keep quiet.
That's it in a king-sized coconut shell. Yep.
Yes, I believe in it. Why?
Well, as an interesting experiment in peace and quiet, let's all sit just here and think at each other for the rest of the evening.
Well, people can't be terrible sociable just by looking.
No. No words, just silent, restful thoughts.
There's just no sense in
thank it. Thank you, thank you. I knew you'd cooperate, so I just said thank you.
Oh. Don't mention it.
Well, all right, thanks.
Of course, I can take a hint, you know. If people don't want to talk, I can be as close-mouthed as anybody else. Mm. And I love to think. It gives a person something to occupy their mind. I could sit right here till 2 weeks after doomsday without a single word passing my lips. Even as a baby, I didn't try to talk until I was nearly 3 months old, you know. My mother was terrible, afraid I'd never... Roscoe Gardiner, aren't you ashamed of yourself?
Huh?
You should have your mind scrubbed out with soap and water.
But gee, what did I do, Mom?
Oh, don't try to look so innocent. I got that thought you just transferred in my direction.
Really, I wasn't even thinking.
Hmm.
I was just lying here, trying to scratch my left ear with my right foot.
Oh, it wasn't you, it was the mayor thinking. And anyone who casts such thoughts behind a person's back...
Look, you weren't tuned in on my station because my mind was a perfect blank.
Well, somebody thought it.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing you and Roscoe are the only ones in the room...
Well,
there's a
goldfish, Marilli.
Ah, sure, you can't eliminate that Tiffany sardine, you know.
And I guess fish can send out pretty strong thought waves, seeing as they're supposed to be brain food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose it could have been Mr. Weissmuller. He sort of had his scales up because I cut down on his fish food. Last week, swimming through his castle, he got stuck twice.
Golly, instead of trying to get him thin, I should think it'd be easier to get him a bigger castle.
Mm-hmm. Well, in case you don't know it, Roscoe, there's a post-war fish castle shortage, you know. The price of even small two-entrance grottos has rocketed sky high, and any goldfish lucky enough to have any kind of a castle, no matter how inconvenient, had better hang on to it.
He looks sort of lonesome, swimming around in the fishbowl all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to Mrs. Weissmuller? Did Mr. Weissmuller eat her?
No, they were just temperamentally mismated.
Uh-huh.
So I took her back to the 5 and dime store.
What did he do? Eat seaweed in bed?
No. But Mrs. Weissmuller likes to swim clockwise, and Mr. Weissmuller wanted to swim counterclockwise. It was just smash, bang, splash every minute of the day, you know. Got me so nervous. Roscoe!
Yeah, Molly?
Will you please take your foot down from behind your neck and see who that is at the door?
Oh, sure, Molly. I was just trying to see what I'd look like if I was a monkey.
Oh, my.
I bet you if I could get both feet up, I'd look pretty good.
Oh, monkey. Mercy my stars. I don't know where he gets such crazy ideas.
There's nothing crazy about him at all. Just normal conversation for a boy of his age.
Yes, well, I don't know, Mayor. I sometimes think we should never have let him take Spanish.
What in thunder's Spanish got to do with it?
Well, goodness knows what he's been putting in his head, you know. If they're going to teach foreign languages, they should teach them in English so the parents can understand them.
Yeah, they're both right there in the study, Dr. Kate.
Thank you, Butch. Hello, Mayor. Good evening, Marilla.
Oh, why, Dr. Kate?
Oh, Doc, we didn't send for you, but you can sit down if you won't send a bill for your time.
Along with Miss Moorhead and Mr. Barrymore, Mayor of the Town featured Conrad Binion, Priscilla Lyon, and Gloria McMillan.
I was a freelance actress, and I did just lots of radio shows, hundreds of radio shows. I did Mayor of the Town with Lionel Barrymore and Agnes Moorhead, and just on and on.
Despite a rating that peaked at 18.9 in February, Mayor of the Town left ABC's airwaves at the end of the season. In late May, Noxzema's agency announced the sponsor was canceling its sponsorship, effective June 30th, after 4 seasons. It was revived on Mutual on January 2nd, 1949, but it managed no higher than a 5-point rating in any month for the remainder of the season. Mayor of the Town departed the radio airwaves for good on July 3rd, 1949.